Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a young entrepreneur who's making it big now, Jigar Mehta. Jigar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you.
Thank you. Jigar is the founder of Honey Twigs, which has been launched with the objective of making honey trendy, mess-free, and a superfood. Jigar has also spent time at the Kingdom of Dreams, and in his own words, he was India's first show caller. So, Jigar, let's start with, what do you think are three key milestones in your life or your career?
So, Ashutosh, you know, I mean, my first key milestone would be when I did my master's. So, you know, I mean, just as a little background, I was a very average student in school and my undergrad. I was never a brilliant student, never an A, you know, always C and D, but thankfully never flunked any class. So doing my master's was a big, you know, opportunity for me to understand that, you know, it was something that I felt that, you know, I could also do something like that. And I did my master's after 10-year break from education. So it was quite a refreshing thing to go back to studying again. And I went to London for a year where I did my master's in marketing communication. And that's where I think everything changed for me. So, and the second would be coming back and joining Kingdom of Dreams. That was one of the biggest opportunities which I was given at that particular time. I mean, I used to do theater production previously between the 10-year gap. I did a lot of theater film event production. And Kingdom of Dreams was upcoming that time and was something fascinating. And a lot of show callers had been interviewed and I got selected. And, you know, I've done some big events with them. I ran IFA of 2011 with Wizcraft because it's managed by Wizcraft. I did FIA Awards, which was the first time in India, the Motorsporting Awards. Where I got the opportunity to meet Bernie Ecclestone and Sebastian Vettel and all the big wigs and saw the F1 trophy. And the third would be starting Honey Twigs. It just completely changed my entire life. You know, overnight becoming an entrepreneur, we all think that it's very simple, but it's quite life-changing.
I agree with you. So before we start talking about Honey Twigs,
yeah,
for our audience and for me, what is the show caller?
So show calling is a concept which has originated from Broadway and West End. You know, it's primarily in theater and now it's come to events also. Now what happens is these shows are so complex with so many, you know, technical things involved now, like revolving stage, flying, pyro, a lot of light changes, effects coming in, a lot of actor movement happening. So show caller is one man who sort of controls the entire show. He gives the cues to as to what will happen when at a particular time. You know, because we have to make sure that our cast is safe. Even the audience sitting and watching that show is safe. So a show caller is one man who controls the entire event, because a lot of times a lot of our crew can't see the stage. You know, they are sitting in one console operating technical gadgets. So who tells them when to go? So we, as a show caller, we have our script in front of us. And script is marked on every second. Like during show calling, I actually understood the meaning of every second counts, you know, so every second, millisecond.
And then what led you from the, you know, razzmatazz of the show business to becoming a startup entrepreneur?
So this I would give credit to my master's. So in my master's, in our final thesis, it was an integrated marketing campaign that we had to make. And I made one on honey. Yeah, so that was the base work for my business. And I mean, you know, when I started working with Kingdom of Dreams, I think after a while the razzmatazz fades off. That's what happened with me. It sort of faded off and I wanted to do something more. So, you know, I went back to my, I was just one day cleaning my wardrobe and I saw my dissertation with me and I started reading it again. And it just struck me, why not do something in honey? So to give you a little background, my father works in cosmetic chemicals. So he, and beeswax, which is the base for a lot of beauty products. So as a kid, a lot of the bee farmers, the people who used to supply beeswax, used to send us honey in cans from forest. And my childhood memories are filtering it with a cloth at home, sitting with a big, you know, a vessel and filtering honey. So my love for honey started somewhere there. And even during my master dissertation, my professor had written on my dissertation, "Don't let it go to waste, convert it into a business opportunity." Okay. So I saw something there and I started doing my research. I came across, a US brand who did something similar, but not a very user-friendly way. It was a drinking straw packed with honey. So I thought, why not do something like this in India? And that's when I decided to take the plunge and just go with this thing and turn it into a business.
Fantastic. So tell me, what are you doing at Honey Twigs now?
So I'm the co-founder and the chief product officer at Honey Twigs. I have another co-founder with me. His name is Paras. He's the CEO. He looks more into the marketing and sales while I look into the product and quality at Honey Twigs. So Honey Twigs is our brand. Our company is actually called Network Foods Private Limited. And under which our flagship brand is Honey Twigs. So Honey Twigs is basically a single serve of honey, a teaspoon of honey packed in a stick pack that you can take everywhere. It's the convenience of carrying honey with you because honey is a superfood. You know, so, I mean, when we started this company, before we started the company, we did a little survey with, I think, a small audience of 3,000 applicants. What we found from that survey was honey is primarily a medicinal product in India because it's been graded so high in Ayurveda and other, you know, Rig Veds and all of that. And a lot of holy books, Quran, and everyone puts honey in a very high pedestal. But we don't consume honey at a daily basis. Honey is only consumed in India when someone is sick. Or now when you want to lose weight, so everyone's having honey, warm water and lime in the morning. But honey is not really understood by the audience, you know. So, and also the reason honey could not be carried everywhere because it was messy, sticky. It was in a cumbersome packing. No one wants to take a bottle because you need a spoon. All of that riffraff it attached to honey. And also, you know, once you take out some honey, if it drips, you have to clean. So there's a lot of work involved after also. So we decided to sort of make do with all of that and come out with a packing, which sort of made it all convenient for an audience to carry it with them. So that's when we thought of introducing Honey Twigs. Of course, we did a lot of iterations to the design. We, the first product that we launched, we completely took that out from the market because it started leaking. It had a lot of problems. We had to then go back to the drawing board, work out our machinery again, and see what worked best. Then we finally got a perfect machine which would make the product. So, I mean, we started in 2015, more or say. And, you know, we started it with an objective of a B2C product, more of a retail. But we were very surprised when Cafe Coffee Day reached out to us and said, hey, we want to get this product in our cafes. The biggest problem they were facing was pilferage of the product, you know. There was no count of how much honey is being used. So with a single sachet, they could keep a track. You know, their accountability was there for every cafe. We realized then that there was an opportunity in the B2B market. So we started approaching hotels. We started approaching airlines. We started approaching a lot of other cafes. So today we are, I mean, I'm very proud to say today we are associated with Starbucks India. We are at Chai Point. We're at Cafe Coffee Day. We're also associated with Vistara, SpiceJet, but unfortunately due to the pandemic, right now it's on hold. A lot of hotels we supply to, including Fairmont, couple of Marriott's, Westin, you know, a lot of good names we're attached to, and a lot of local cafes, domestic names.
Very interesting. So, you know, when you talk of honey, honey normally evokes very strong views. Either people love it or they don't love it. Why?
Correct. So, the first thing I've realized is quality. People are not sure about the quality of honey that they get in the market. You know, there's a lot of, how do I put it? There's a lot of myth and, you know, things attached to honey that people don't understand. Like, the biggest myth that we also face a challenge with is crystallization of honey. Now, when people see a crystallized honey, they think that there's sugar mixed in honey. But actually, it's the opposite. Pure honey will always crystallize in its lifetime, but we can't control it when, how it, and it can happen in summer or winter. It's not, usually it does happen in winter, but it also happens in summer. So there's a lot of science behind that, you know. Secondly, besides the quality, it's also, like I said, it's messy. People don't carry it everywhere. You know, they've put it in a cupboard and they've forgotten about it. It's like a, one of those granddaddy products that you just put it inside and forget. Also, there's nothing much been done on the branding. If you look at most of the honey bottles in the market, they're all yellow. Yep. They're very similar looking. There's nothing much, you know, brand-wise done anything on honey. Also, the thing is, and somewhere the taste also, yes, some people do find it overpowering. You know, some people don't like the taste of honey. So what happened with us was this, we realized with children, you know, a lot of children didn't like honey. That is because of the taste. So when we converted into a twig, which is, I'll show you what a twig is. So this is a twig. You know, this is a single serve of honey. So when we converted this into a twig, when you tear it and you have small sips, the taste is different. So the palate acceptability started happening. And we also came out with more flavors, you know, to sort of sit well with the palate of the kids and the adults.
Okay. So, you know, you know, you just mentioned honey is a superfood.
Yes.
And I would imagine a large number of people, consumers, use honey as a sweetener.
Correct.
So as the, you know, honey guru who I know, how would you compare honey as with sugar and sweeteners?
So honey is a natural sweetener first. The main constituents of honey is glucose and fructose, which comes from the nectar of the flower. Yes, there are other vitamins, trace minerals, other forms of sugar also present in honey, but they're in very minor quantities. The majority is fructose, glucose, and moisture is only 20%, maximum 20 to 25% in honey.
Okay.
So it's a super saturated sugar solution, but it's natural. And the way honey is made is the bee collects the nectar, regurgitates in its stomach, and then puts it in its hive for rainy day when they can't find any nectar. So it's already digested by the bees, you know. So when we consume honey, the moment it touches our tongue, our body starts absorbing honey. So it's the best form of glucose. Or instant energy that our body can get. So even in summer, when we reach out to glucose powder, instead if we just take a spoonful of honey, we'll be re-energized.
I see.
You know, in terms of adding it with tea, yes, of course, green tea and honey go well together because they're both very, you know, healthy products, immunity, all of that. There is a problem with coffee, but we've tried to tackle that. So we came out with cinnamon honey. Where we actually use cinnamon powder, infuse it with our honey. And that is amazing with black coffee. Like, I am hooked on to it. So I have at least 2 to 3 cups. I know it's bad to so much of caffeine, but in a day with cinnamon honey. And my day starts with cinnamon honey. So, and for tea also, I mean, we're working on more infusions that can sit well with the palate and can go well with tea, coffee or beverages.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And, you know, you just spoke about this, but what made you launch cinnamon and vanilla infused honey? I mean, does it require some kind of technology or is it just the market?
So it was the market, basically. I mean, so anything to do with honey, honey is a product which is very sensitive to temperature. So we have to steep honey at a very controlled temperature. You can't go beyond 50 degrees. Otherwise, the goodness of honey dies. So like I said, for cinnamon honey, we use real cinnamon powder, infuse it with our honey. For vanilla also, we use real vanilla pod powder and natural vanilla extract to lock the flavor. So in our products, we don't use anything artificial first. You know, we only use natural products. You know, and to come out with cinnamon and vanilla, the main idea was vanilla was more targeted on children to increase the consumption of honey in the kids. And cinnamon was a more adult friendly palate. You know, and a lot of people do consume cinnamon powder and honey mixed together as a medicine.
I see.
So why not give them something which is pre-mixed? Also, a lot of hotels like our B2B players then started buying bulk, like the 1 kg packs for baking. You know, it's very interesting, Ashutosh, during the pandemic, initial days of the pandemic, when there was a shortage of food products because the transportation was not happening, we saw a surge in the sale of our vanilla honey. That is because everyone started baking at home. And stores started running out of vanilla essence flavors and all of that. So people started buying our vanilla honey.
Amazing.
You know, to actually use it in baking, because it gave that flavor, because we use real vanilla pod powder in the honey. So it does embark that flavor. We've been part of a lot of gifting hampers, you know, wherein I remember for one birthday return gift, they did a hamper, which was for kids, for pancake hamper. So like a pancake mix, our honey and a mold,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's going well with children, and it has a lot of usabilities very, around.
Very interesting. So let me, you know, you were, before we started recording, you were telling me about some of the challenges as a startup. Let me ask yes. you a couple of questions on startups.
Yes.
So first, tell me, based on, you know, you started in 2015, so you've got 5.5-6 years of experience under your belt. You know, startups are really going to turn India around.
Correct.
What, according to you, are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup founders make?
Some of the basic mistakes, I would be very honest, I think these are some mistakes that we've also made along the way. You know, every mistake is a learning experience. The first would be not understanding how to manage our cash flow.
Hmm.
That is the biggest, I think, mistake a lot of entrepreneurs make.
Hmm.
When we start our company, or, you know, when you have a baby, you're very excited to get the best for it. You know, okay. you don't understand that you need to control your hand somewhere, you know, and that time we are just pumping in everything we have to sort of get the product out. And sometimes you don't realize that we are pushing our product in the wrong market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is not the correct market, and we start investing in the wrong market. And after a year or two of doing that, we realize, oh shit, we shouldn't have done that. You know, that is not a perfect market. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, you know, we launched with the idea of B2C, but mm-hmm. very quickly we realized that it was a more B2B friendly product. So today, I mean, our 60% business is B2B.
Amazing.
B2C is also picking up, yes. But B2B is our bigger audience.
Okay.
So, you know, somewhere we did a lot of spends on advertising for B2C. And also the second big mistake would be the correct hires we make. We don't realize who would be the apt person for this role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of things that just take you aback, you know, when you're new. You know, it just seems like everyone can do everything for you, but that's not correct. So you have to be very, very careful as to who you hire. You know, if they're worth the role, can they deliver what they promise, and if they're worth the money that they're asking for.
Interesting. And one more question for you.
Yeah.
One of the big challenges every startup entrepreneur faces is that I want to be all over the country, you know, pan India, pan this.
Correct.
At what stage do you think a startup should start to scale up?
That's a very interesting question. You know, I mean, we also thought we'd be pan India, but our physical presence is only in three major states and a couple of smaller cities. You know, we took a conscious decision of not entering every space. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, you need to evaluate the market. Is that particular market ready for you? Because in India being so diverse, you know, every state has a different acceptability of the product.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Maharashtra would be very different compared to a Madhya Pradesh, or a Delhi would be very different to Himachal or Punjab, you know. So acceptability of product is not same everywhere.
Right.
While our best selling state today, I mean, or city, if I may say, is Bangalore, closely followed by Chennai, then Delhi, Mumbai. You know, so these places have more acceptability of our product. We did try launching in smaller places. We've tried Kolkata, we've tried Madhya Pradesh, Bhopal.
Mm.
It didn't happen. You know, there are certain places we've not been able to crack, and we are okay.
Mm.
It's fine. It'll happen when it'll happen. Mm. Let's first figure out if there is an acceptability of the product there or your service,
mm.
and then take the step to sort of expand. And obviously you need to have your bank balances in place for the expansion as well, because it does cost a decent amount of money to go into any new space.
Yep.
I mean, but right now, you know, the good thing is the online boom.
Hmm.
So online does help us. We get great orders from Pan India. In fact, we have with Amazon, you know, our products are on Amazon. The reach is brilliant.
Hmm.
We are also on a lot of third party selling platforms,
mm-hmm.
Even Big Basket, Gokee, all these platforms have been giving us audiences from Pan India, which is good.
Mm. Very interesting. So I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation, which has some questions for you, sir, you know, personally. My first question to you is that, you know, you're building a very fascinating startup in the health and wellness space, if I can use that.
Yes.
What are some of the core values you believe in yourself and for your company?
So our vision, has been to give consumers, to help consumers live healthier lifestyle by making small changes in their everyday habits. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you do that? You have to first provide a quality product. Correct. So quality is the first key thing for us. Mm-hmm. We will never go, or our products will never be under quality. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, all our honey is checked. We do lab checks. We only get all COAs. Mm-hmm. Certificate of analysis for every batch that we procure. So quality is a foremost point for success, because we are in a space where there are a lot of bigger players also in the honey segment. The only way we can be seen or appreciated is if we stand on a quality and we maintain that for all the years to come and it doesn't drop. Mm. Because a lot of times it happens that, you know, when companies start reaching a certain point, they fail to pay attention on the quality bit of it, and that causes the downfall of the brand, which we don't want to do. That's why I personally look into the quality and the product to make sure that whatever goes out of our factory is as per our standards and marks. In terms of success, what I would say success is when you get reviews from your customers and they're happy with your product and they really appreciate what you've done. Mm. Of course, there are some, we get mixed reviews. Some people don't like us, but majority do like us, whoever our customers are. Yeah. That really means something to us and gives us that, boost that we are on the correct path and we should go further on it. All our people associated with us, be it our employees or partners, we need to, we take them very seriously. Any problem, any issue, we make sure that it's answered or, addressed within 24 hours.
Okay.
We don't take longer than 24 hours unless it's a holiday the next day. Okay. But we don't take more than 24 hours to address their issues. Mm-hmm. So that gives that faith in us that we are a brand who's here to stay, mm-hmm. who's not here for the short run.
My next question to you is about, people probably of your generation, millennials and younger, with the Gen Zs. How are they reacting to consumption of your products?
So I feel the times are changing. Mm-hmm. Now the new generation is more health oriented. They're more health conscious. Mm-hmm. There are so many health apps that have flooded the market. There are so many wearables that have come out in the last, I think, 10 years. Yeah. There's been a boom of all of this, even in the space of food. Forget honey. Suddenly these seeds, which we never heard of, mm-hmm. which I remember my granny used to have, like sunflower seeds or watermelon seeds, she used to have it. But we never had it when we were young. We sort of left it and we moved towards the more fancier stuff. And now suddenly it's all making a comeback in our lives and three times the price.
Absolutely.
So the younger generation is now opening up to healthier products. They're now opening up to honey as well. Mm. I have a lot of cyclists and marathon runners who are consumers of our products, because for long distance cycling, like I told you, honey gives you instant energy. They carry a product and it's very easy to use. So they have it while riding their bike. Mm. I've interacted with a couple of my customers who, out of which two were ultra marathon runners. Mm. And they actually used it on their run because the body absorbs it faster and it's 100% natural. Mm. So what I mean to say is, yes, people are opening up to the fact of consuming a more healthier product now, making the shift from sugar to honey. They're understanding the nuances of sugar while the good things of honey. So there is a considerable shift happening, and somewhere the pandemic has been a blessing, because suddenly now the boom has come to immunity products. Everyone wants to keep their health focused. The health has taken a forefront, so which is good.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Jigar, we've run out of time. So thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to
you. My pleasure.
I just loved your comment about honey gives instant energy. I mean, yes. Probably the right time for everyone to start keeping a honey twig in their pocket.
Yes, they
you
should.
Know, and whenever you're tired, just take a little sip and you're ready to run again.
Correct.
I wish you lots of success. And
thank you so much.
Certainly reach out to Big Basket and ask to get some honey twigs for our home. But thank Please you again. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh, for your time. Thank you. It was a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.